Welcome to this week's episode of Drive the Bid, the automotive podcast brought to you by AutoHunter.com,
your destination for online collector car auctions.
Hosted by Diego Rosenberg and Derek Shakey. Drive the Bid starts now.
Welcome to Drive the Bid podcast brought to you by AutoHunter.com, the online auction website. I am Diego Rosenberg, and I'm here with Derek Shakey and our guest once again returning. First time with both of us.
That's right.
This is Luke Lamendola.
Pretty excited
to be
here.
Did I get the accent in the right place?
Lamendola.
Lamendola.
Close enough.
Okay. I thought that's what I said.
Maybe.
You're supposed to.
I should restart.
Sorry. Oh, I didn't kick you. That was good, though.
Hey, we got blooper reel content.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll probably leave it in.
So, for those of you who are watching us for the first time, we generally talk about the news first, some random classic car stuff or new car stuff or whatever in between, and then we talk about Auto Hunter's cars to be auctioned that you can buy. So today, for news, we'll be discussing major updates for the 2025 Mercedes-Benz G-Wagon. Now, do you call it G-Wagon or G-Wagon?
Wagon.
G-Wagon.
Okay, just checking.
We're normal.
Well, I mean, maybe you're German too. I don't know.
American.
I thought, you know, Volkswagen, wagon, I don't
know. Gelande wagon.
So, anyway, it seems like they made some tweaks. Looks a little bit more aerodynamic. We got the article I looked at was on Car Driver, so we just need to give him props for that. Looks the same otherwise to me, just a little bit more aero, just the sharp edges softened. But the big news is that the engine has gone from a V8 to an inline six for the standard one, which I think is called the
G550. Yeah.
But the AMG, is it a G63 maybe?
Correct.
That still has a V8. So the horsepower for the inline six, I guess they're both twin turbos originally, the V8 and the inline six. The V8 had 416 horsepower. The inline six now has 443. So that's an increase of 27 horsepower. Torque has fallen by 37. So I'm guessing that's probably a negligible issue. Except for the people who like V8s. And that's one of the reasons why I thought this would be a good thing to discuss. This isn't the first car that has had an engine that was an improvement, and I say that in quotes, but it has had a reduction in cylinders. But it almost seems that this is the sign of things to come. Before, maybe it was just companies playing around with regulations or just different packaging, and now it just seems to be screaming regulations, period.
Well, and also, you know, you've got at a certain point economies of scale. You know, they put this engine, you know, the more vehicles they put it in, the cheaper it is overall to produce.
Yeah, for sure. But wouldn't it be cool if they kept a V8 in it?
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. Like you said, like you look at the second generation Raptor, the first gen, they had a 5.4 liter and then a 6.2 liter VA. You got that nice mean snarl. Then to improve fuel economy and, yes, power, they went with the EcoBoost 3.5 liter V6 for the second generation. But you lose that signature sound, which is not everything, but for a performance vehicle, it's certainly a part of it.
I mean, there's definitely a visceral aspect to it that I enjoy. But at the same time, one of the commenters in the forum for Car and Driver said, the kind of person that buys this vehicle doesn't care about the engine, they care about being seen in it.
Yeah.
So it may not matter.
And they certainly don't care about the fuel economy. And yes, there will be a bump, but by how much? Is it even going to make a difference, especially to the buyers of these vehicles? They don't care. I mean, if you can afford a $150,000, $200,000 vehicle, you're not trying to hypermile it.
100%.
So here's a question. The outgoing V8 was a 4-liter with 416 horsepower. I am guessing that probably that was a V8 that just wasn't, I was going to say properly developed. That's the wrong word, but it just wasn't really for that much horsepower for twin turbo V8, 4 liters just doesn't seem to be much. Like it was like last year's engine, so to speak. Now you have an inline six, also twin turbos, 3 liters, 1 liter less, and it's putting out more horsepower.
Yeah, and what's interesting about this one, too, is it has a conventional turbo, but then it has what they called, if I remember correctly, an auxiliary electric compressor, which to me means an electric turbocharger. So you don't have to wait on it to spool up. It's just
turbo delay.
Oh, I never even knew that was a thing.
Yeah. Electric
turbo, so that's cool. That's interesting. So, I mean, that being said, I don't think turbo lag has been much of an issue, electric or otherwise, these days.
You know, I do feel like in the most recent press car we've reviewed, we did experience some turbo delay.
And which car was that?
First time. It was the Toyota Tundra with the turbo V6 hybrid engine in it.
Okay.
And not going to lie, there was some pretty noticeable turbo delay.
Probably not like a 1980 Saab, I imagine.
Probably not.
Yeah. I hope not.
So it also seems that the AMG version, the G63, it does keep its V8, but it will have a 24-volt system to complement.
48-volt.
48-volt.
Yeah, and then it gets a little power assist at low speeds with the integrated starter generator system. But yeah, you know, like you were saying earlier, you know, kind of wave of the future stuff. A lot of companies... You know, for a long time, I think we discussed it on a previous episode, like inline sixes used to be relatively common. And then, you know, I think largely because of packaging, a lot of manufacturers switched to V6. But now, you know, in recent years, past 5 to 7 years, a lot of companies have been going back to straight sixes.
Yeah, they're making a comeback.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the Grand Wagoneer, the Ram 1500, you know, they're switching to straight six power, you know, and Jaguar Land Rover did it a few years ago. And now this, of all vehicles, this is a big surprise because this is... I mean, yes, you know, this is the newest generation of it that came out, what, 2019, 2020, something like that. This is obviously a significant mid-cycle refresh. But for the most part, historically, this has been a kind of a conservative vehicle because, you know, it's boxy, it's unapologetically, you know, slab-sided, you know, so it's old school in that way. So to see this transition is kind of significant.
It seems they're also going to have some kind of adaptive suspension for this vehicle, for all the new ones.
Yeah, so when you're going through corners, it will stiffen up and kind of just provide a smoother ride. I know in a car like this, you know, an off-road vehicle, you get a lot of body roll. You want a soft suspension, but on the freeway and highway speeds, that can be a bit of a problem. So it's really cool they're integrating this kind of system into their vehicle.
Did you catch the price, the base price for the G550?
Well, I don't think there is a base price yet. I think pricing is yet to be released. But last year's G550 was around $140,000, I want to say.
Car and Driver said this is going to be $140,000 and $144,000, $150,000 is what I have written here. And
got to be rich.
Well, I'm rich already. I just don't have money.
rich in spirit.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. You're rich in experiences. $184,150 for the G63.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's
steep.
It is. For an urban assault vehicle, especially.
But I mean, these things are super capable. If you have the money to buy one of these things and can take it off roading.
Is that because you're going to see someone taking it off?
Never. I'll never see that. Mm-hmm. But. They do perform very well. I've seen a lot of videos, you know, out in Dubai and stuff where you can afford a vehicle like this and take it off-roading. It's pretty awesome.
Okay. I'm going to just leave the topic and be depressed at this point. No, it's cool. It's cool. I mean, I don't like doom and gloom. Let's see what happens in the next few years. I think everyone feels the same way.
Yeah. One thing I want to mention that's really cool about this is it's featuring an updated 360 camera system.
Yes.
So it can now display a view of what's under the vehicle, and they're calling it their transparent hood. So it gives the drivers a better sense of the terrain directly beneath the vehicle. So
I guess also someone stealing your catalytic converters, you can get them on camera.
There you go.
But the interior is also restyled. Now it looks modern.
So it looks like really good.
It's not a throwback anymore.
Yeah, and there's some surprising updates to the G-Class for 2025, one of which is for the first time you get the MBUX infotainment system, which I was shocked by. I figured they'd rolled it in, you know, when this generation came out. And then also you get Keyless Go, so you don't need to take the remote out of your pocket to get in. And they specifically mentioned, you know, that signature in the press release, they mentioned that signature sound of closing the door. So I figured that was something they had to be very careful about. Like, we want to modernize it, but we don't want to lose that signature sound.
Okay, I'm confused. You don't have to remove the key from your pocket?
Yeah, like a remote or anything.
That's pretty common in most cars. Are you just saying they didn't have it in this vehicle, but they had it in others?
Yeah, because apparently Keyless Go is new for this.
Okay, for a moment I thought this was like some newfangled thing that Mercedes came up with, and it's just like, no, they just hadn't updated it for this vehicle.
Yeah, or, you know, maybe Keyless Go is actually the push button start. But anyway, it's one of those features that is pretty much commonplace, but is just now coming to this.
Gotcha. Well, very cool. Let's see how it goes.
What do you guys think of the climate-controlled front cup holders?
I like it.
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to tie them in because, you know, Mercedes has had heated and cooled cup holders, but to make it part of this whole sort of ecosystem is the next step.
You know, I would be happy with a cup holder, period. I don't need to have any kind of electricity conducted through it.
Maybe that's because you haven't experienced it yet.
Well, I usually finish my drink, so it doesn't get hot or cold.
That's a fair point.
So, I don't know. So up next, Steve Mignante, he has a new YouTube video. He is getting better.
Oh, cool.
He is not in the junkyard, but if you go to his channel on YouTube, you can see a video he did on promo wagons, as in promotional model wagons. You know what a promo is?
No.
So a promotional model is car dealers, or let's say the car manufacturers used to commission plastic models that would be bought at the dealership, and kids often played with them. They were made from different materials. I know polystyrene at one point, and before then was acetate plastic. I learned all this from the video. So... But they're pretty expensive promos. They've been collectible for a while. I've never gotten into
them.
How
big are these things?
Like, I think 125th is the size. So he talks about that. And then he talks about an SSP model, which was not a promo. But in the 70s, they had this thing where you can get this plastic, let's call it plastic wire, and you slip it in some kind of gear in the car, and you pull it out, and there's this friction thing. So then it like accelerates the friction mechanism, and you put it on the ground, and it goes.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Okay.
But there's one with a smash up derby, and my friend had it, and I completely forgot about it until I saw this. So it was kind of cool.
That's awesome. Brought back some memories.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, new video for Steve Mignante, and he's doing better. So very good. So next, I'm going to talk about a certain car. I'm a little bit unclear about its history because there's a trajectory, but I just want to comment on it because I think it really is a shame that the Nissan Sentra SER has not developed a very nice history throughout the automotive world, at least to Americans. We should have a very nice, hot Nissan Sentra the way this came. When this came out, I think it was 1991, 92, let's see, 91. 140 horsepower, it was probably 0-60 in the low 8-second range. It was basically a mini Beamer. All the magazines liked it. Used to see them in the street. And then I don't know what happened. Nissan redesigned it, and this looks kind of dumpy. And
it does.
And it still had 140 horsepower. No improvement, but it was fatter and heavier and was slower. And then they had this one, which was introduced in 2000. Through 2002, you could get a stick, and after 2002, starting in 2003, it was a CVT, which is counterproductive. And you can see also it's doesn't have this mini beamer look to it. But then they had this Spec V come out, or maybe a Spec 5. I don't know what's the way to pronounce it.
I've always said Spec V, but I could be wrong.
Cool, then I'm not the only one. So they had that with 175 horsepower with a 6-speed transmission, but it's just like the equity they had with the first one was completely lost. It didn't exist, this car that everyone loved. And this I guess. Well, I think this is better than this one.
Really?
Yeah, especially from the back.
Oh,
the
man.
The back of this one's horrendous.
I kind of think they're both terrible. To me, they just
look like that red one, but
they just look like old cars.
No, no. This one's got some junk in the trunk. Let's call it I don't even know how to pronounce it. Badonk badonk. What was
badonk
that?
Badonk
a
donk?
Yeah, thank you. I think if I wasn't in camera, I could do it. So this is the last one. It had 200 horsepower, the Spec V, but it's just like, what happened to this?
I don't know.
This was so cool when it came out. But Nissan has had a lot of little things. You know, they had the Maxima, the four-door sports car, as they called it in advertising, and that equity was squandered. Even the Z car, the equity was squandered a little bit. And how many of the new ones have you seen on the street?
The new Z?
Yeah,
like one, maybe two.
Yeah. But I see plenty of Supras, and when I say plenty, yeah, you know, it's not every day, but I see them out there. So I don't know. I think Nissan's gone through some weird stuff. They used to, early 90s Nissan was cool, and that kind of got So I don't know. That's just like
my little thing. Just trying to find their identity.
No, I think they're squandering opportunities. And they've been through a few CEOs, including one who was shipped in a briefcase to Lebanon or something like that. But that's for another story.
In one piece.
Yes.
Importantly.
Well, you're
alive?
You mean, you mean it wasn't part of a luggage set? It was just one piece?
Well, no, he was one piece.
Yeah. He didn't get beheaded or anything.
No, it wasn't old school mob style.
So.
Well, you know, one bright light is, you know, you look at the last Pathfinder and compare it to the new one. Last Pathfinder, that was a CVT. And from what I've seen, the Nissan CVTs don't have the most robust reputation for quality.
And I think that may be true of a lot of CVTs.
Yeah, they don't inspire a whole lot of confidence in me. That's why I didn't get a car with a CVT in it. But you look at the new Pathfinder, they went to a 9-speed automatic.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they kind of unwound themselves from it a little bit. I'm hoping that carries over in the future.
I thought you were going to talk about how they screwed up the Pathfinder too, and how it went from like this body on frame off-roader to suburban assault vehicle.
Yeah, there's that too. I think over the years they've kind of flip-flopped more than once.
Really?
Yeah. But yeah, it's not like, you know, the kind of hard body based vehicle that it used to be. It's a lot softer.
Yeah. Yeah, I got no issue. I mean, it's the same with the Chevy Blazer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So because what was the Pathfinder? It's just an SUV. It's not an enthusiast car, so it's a little bit different.
I will say this. I drove one of the last-gen Pathfinders, and I don't know if they test them for this, but it did stand up to being hit by a coyote.
Or hit by a coyote, or you hit the coyote?
Okay, well, yes, I hit the coyote, but he ran out in front of me, and it took it like a champ, and fortunately, the coyote seemed to as well.
Good.
Nice.
He was a little stunned, and then he ran off, good. So, yeah.
And went on to later die a couple hours later.
Well, I hope not. That is a possibility, but he was well enough to move on, so hopefully.
Well, that's good. No damage to the vehicle at all?
No, there was a little bit, but, you know, I didn't, like, total it. It was relatively low speed, but
okay,
yeah, just some few scratches, but coyote tested.
So next we are going to show our memes. I have not seen any of the other memes. They haven't seen mine. And Derek the same way. You know, he hasn't seen my memes or Luke's memes, etc. We all took a stab because we think memes suck. There are a lot of bad memes online. We thought maybe we could do a better job or maybe make fun of the memes that we have seen. Or whatever it may be.
I think mine are worse than what I've seen online.
Okay, well, let's see how it goes.
Okay, so this one's mine.
Okay. So here we have one of those doggy vans for doggy baths and stuff. When she says she's a dog person. And was she
drives this? That's self-explainable. I mean, no, you drive that. When you meet this pretty girl and she's like, oh, I love dogs. You say, hey, girl, check out what I got. And then you fall in love. She falls in love instantly, obviously.
Well, because you've shown in your devotion.
Exactly.
And then she'll enter from the back.
She'll enter from
the back. Oh, boy. That'll be the premium episode content,
yeah, I guess. Yeah, and the carpet continues on the inside. The PG.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Okay, we're going to go with the next one, I say.
Well, and I like the sorry to interrupt, Diego. I like the Dumb and Dumber shout out there, too.
Thank you.
Is this from Dumb and Dumber? I don't remember the movie.
I can't remember. It's been a long time since I've seen the movie, but it does look strikingly similar.
Okay.
I can't tell you.
Otherwise, Providence, Rhode Island is what
it is. Yeah, well, the name is the same, too. Yeah, Mutt Cuts. Yeah, because it was like a mobile dog grooming service. Mm.
So you think that leg moves over if you need to change a tire?
100%.
Yeah, I think in the movie, they had the leg raised and they overfilled the gas tank, so it looked like the dog was peeing.
Yes.
I should have laughed at that on the camera. Okay. Okay.
All right, this one's mine again.
Here's Dodge's headquarters after discontinuing the Hemi. Okay. So this is like a meme of a meme.
Yeah.
Okay, because this is like one of those things that it's like a trope.
Exactly.
Okay. So we got the dog.
I mean, is that not accurate?
Yeah.
I feel like they're, you know, they're trying to maintain calmness
after discontinuing the Hemi, and the guy's going to be burnt to a crisp. He's like, oh, everything's fine.
Yeah.
So I think this is appropriate. I think this is good.
Thank you.
You should share it on Facebook and see what happens.
Maybe.
Yeah, I like it. It's short, sweet, to the point. It's understandable.
Accurate.
And familiar, too, because you use the familiar image.
So next we have, I'm going to guess yours because...
Nope.
No?
Okay. This would be mine again. Okay.
The only reason I was guessing is because mine are also vertical, which okay. doesn't work well with this medium, but it's how it turned up. It turned out, rather. So here we have a Mustang. This is like a New Edge Mustang, let's say. And then this Ford Ranger pickup with a Mustang front end. And it says, this is...
you have to say it like he says it.
I was going to say this is the Mafia movie whose name I can't remember right now. The Godfather. This is a scene from The Godfather. And it says, look how they have... Look at how they massacred my boy.
Look at how they massacred my boy.
I could have been a contender. That's a different movie, I think.
Yeah, on the waterfront.
So,
but yeah, okay. They completely massacred this thing. I mean, to be honest... I don't know, since it's just an ugly car to begin with, but then they made it even uglier.
Yeah. I mean, it's a Ford Ranger pickup with a body kit, and in addition to the body kit, a Mustang front end.
There you go.
Maybe it's one of those Mexican Rangers.
Maybe.
Speaking of Brando, I wanted to say, like, another one of his movies, they could have put that in the automotive version of the Isle of Dr. Moreau, because it's just this bastardized monstrosity.
All right, next one. This is mine again.
So you have a homeless guy holding a bottle of Listerine.
Yeah.
Okay. Is this a known picture?
No.
Okay.
But the Nissan Altima drivers have a reputation for being the worst drivers on the road because they... I mean, think of a Nissan Altima. When was the last time you guys saw one? The likelihood of it having body damage on it is quite high.
I don't know. It depends on the year.
Early 2008 or so, early 2000s Nissan Altima.
You know, speaking of Nissan squandering stuff, when the first Altima came out, not the first, the second, the one that kind of looks like the one now, because the first one was like kind of crappy, but like this is probably 2005, 2006 maybe. that was kind of a cool mid-sized car. It had horsepower in ways that other mid-sized cars didn't have.
And then you're talking about the one with the clear stacked taillights.
Yeah.
And then they even had an SER version of that.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, those were pretty...
Probably with it, but they had a V6 that was doing 0 to 60 in the sixes, I think. Like, now it's so normal, but back then... And then they introduced the coupe, which I didn't think was as great as a... I mean, it was cool, but I wasn't attracted to it. It was kind of like a twin to the Infiniti version.
Hmm. I guess other people weren't either, because I don't think they sold those that long. The coupes?
They sold them for a few years. I still see them. But I don't know. That's that begs some investigation after the podcast.
Production numbers.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So another meme now. Is this yours as well?
Yeah, this is mine.
Okay, so we have... Is this a trope also, this...
This is from an old, like, commercial, and it's been a meme for a really long time because it's just kind of ridiculous. It's this kid working on the computer, and then it just cuts to him, like, giving a thumbs up. But it wouldn't allow me to put a GIF in here, so I had to use just the photos.
So it says, auto companies in 2024 after designing and releasing the ugliest new car.
BMW. Pointing fingers at you.
Oh, you should have 7 Series?
You should have put BMW. So, is this the Dell dude?
I have no idea.
Do you know who the Dell dude is?
No. Michael Dell?
No, no. But, no, there was a kid, I mean, a teenager in the commercials maybe 15 years ago, and the commercials were popular, and then he got caught with weed, and he lost his Dell dude status.
Well, I guess after that he became a cell dude, huh?
Yeah, or maybe incel dude.
Oh, boy.
So, okay, so Nick, thank you for your memes. I hope to see them on
Who's Nick?
Who? So, have we had a Nick at all?
No.
No.
That's so weird.
I've been called that before. Fun fact.
Yeah. How did I get Nick? I don't know. Luke. At least I had a K.
Thank you.
So, okay. So, Derek. Here's your meme. So for the people listening, we have a Dodge Challenger doing a burnout, and it says how most Phoenix drivers pull away from red lights.
Yeah, people in Phoenix, I guess maybe it's the weather since it's so hot here. People have no chill on the road. They are hyper aggressive. If you're at a stoplight, like a millisecond after it turns green, there are people that will honk at you. And then, like, I've seen this a lot with truck drivers and more so lately electric car drivers. If you're starting off from a stoplight and there's an opening next to you, or even like two lanes, like if there's a turn lane and if you're in the right lane and there's a turn lane two lanes over, the other day somebody in a Lucid, they just shot the gap like instantly. There's nobody waits for anything here.
I kind of have seen, I wonder if statistically if EV people get speeding tickets at a higher rate.
I will bet you 100% that's
because I think you get a lot of people who are not used to the acceleration and don't know how to manage it well, and then start driving a little bit more aggressively than what they normally would.
Let's talk about the Genesis that we just reviewed. That thing, everything I was saying about that car was it's so fast that it's so easy to get a ticket in it. And guess what? On the last day of us having that car, our videographer Dustin got pulled over.
Uh-oh.
Didn't get a ticket, luckily. But the electric vehicles, it's so easy to push that throttle and just take off.
Yeah.
Well, and you're not getting the same sensory inputs either. You're not getting the roar of an engine or even a ship.
Exactly.
That can get away from you, I can imagine.
The next thing you know, you're going 60 miles an hour in a 45. After like 4 seconds, you're like, oh, I'm speeding.
And you're sleeping in the car too while you're driving.
Exactly.
Because of autopilot.
Hands free.
You ever see those pictures?
I've seen them.
In California, and it's just like, what are you thinking?
Or like
in the left lane, no less.
The Genesis had a feature where it like looked at your eyes, so when you weren't looking at the road, it would chime and remind you to look at the road. It's kind of cool.
Because they know.
But very annoying because it doesn't work most of the time.
It's hard to hear when you're wearing earbuds.
True.
So okay.
But that is so
very
true.
Cool. Very cool.
Unfortunately,
I like your choice of fonts as well. Matches.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
So, So here we have, this is a Tremor, or is this a...
No, it's a Ford Raptor.
Raptor, okay. I could not wait. So the Raptor, for those of you listening, I could not wait. You have the Raptor in the air. I could not wait to do this in my new Raptor. Oh, yeah, there's the name. Too bad I'll have to wait 84 months to own it.
Yeah, and this is true of not just, you know, I'm sure it's true for certain Raptor owners out there, but I think this is true for a lot of people out there, no matter what they drive. You know, there's, you know, auto financing is a big part of the industry, and I get it. I mean, I financed my car, but I kept it to 5 years in reasonable payments. But there are people out there that they want something cool. They want the flash. They want the flex. They don't, you know, as long as the monthly is affordable, they'll stretch out the financing, and companies are happy to do it. Like you go on the Ford website, you can do 84 month financing.
So that's over 5 years. I don't know.
That's like it's 7 years.
7 years.
Yeah. Seven years.
I just couldn't do the math fast enough.
Yeah. And look, you know, me financing my car for 5 years, if you go to a lot of these like personal finance websites, like they'll say like, even that's not recommended. Like Dave Ramsey, he's one of these personal finance gurus. He's like, well, buy your car cash if you can. Mm-hmm. So to a certain extent, I'm kind of guilty of this, but there's no way I was stretching that out to 84 months.
And you're kind of suggesting that, well, you can't really do this with your car until you properly own it?
No, I mean, you can, but what I mean is like...
Or truck, rather.
You know, you're still paying the finance company, so it's not truly yours until
like a
final payment. Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing, too. It's like, I know, going down a rabbit hole here, but, you know, it's the truth is, even with, you know, hot vehicle, like, let's say a Raptor, it's like you are financing, especially over a ludicrous term, a depreciating asset, you know? But yeah, that's it. This is just kind of commentary on how crazy financing a car can be. And a lot of people do it. I mean, they wouldn't have 84 month terms if people didn't jump on.
Exactly. $700 a month, 84 months.
Yeah. Oh, sign me up.
Sign me up.
At 7% interest.
Oh man. Well, see, that's the thing. It's like if you have a shorter term, obviously the payments are higher, but the interest rate is lower. But if you stretch it out longer, the payments are lower, but the interest rate goes up.
That's how they got me with my Challenger. They gave me a longer term and a 5%
interest rate.
And I was like, oh my God, 5%. It's my first time buying a car. That sounds great. But it was for 6 years.
No, it could have been worse. I mean, there are some, I think maybe like specialty lenders where they'll do like a 10-year note.
Damn.
Yeah, that's frightening.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Okay, so here are my memes.
All right, let's see them.
So we have a picture of a Prius on top and a Dodge. What was this car?
Caliber?
No. Not
a Magnum.
Not an Intrepid. I had this problem yesterday, and I had to like go through some rabbit holes to find it. Okay, let's forget about it. We have a crappy Dodge in the bottom, a Prius on the top. So I put busts on Priuses. Drives a Mopar. Now I added an apostrophe in the top that doesn't belong there because you see that a lot in memes. So the idea for this one is like you have some guy busting on this hybrid.
It's the Avenger.
But they just drive. Thank you.
Yeah.
They just drive a crappy Mopar. It's just, you know, it's kind of like the baby boomers versus like, who cares what someone chooses to drive?
Yeah, you know, to each their own.
And besides, all the Priuses I've seen, at least when I lived in California, are always in the carpool lane going faster than everyone else. They're pretty speedy in the end. Do I like Priuses? No, but I mean, please.
You can't beat that gas mileage.
Maybe you can with an EV.
Depends on if you want to go full electric or not.
Yeah, for sure. But you know, it was between this and there was a Chrysler version, the one that looked like the Crossfire. I don't remember what it was called. Chrysler.
The Crossfire?
No, they have a, there's a Chrysler that looks, that's kind of like based on this, a Chrysler version of this.
Oh, Sebring.
Was it a Sebring?
I think it was the last generation of the Sebring.
I don't know, but it's just like, anyway, it's a good thing they got rid of these.
Well, and you know, I get what you're saying, and it kind of makes sense, but you know, to me, like, you go under like Charger or Challenger, to me, Mopar is synonymous with like the performance vehicles. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. But there's no reason why this couldn't be as interesting as the 300 or the Charger. That's the thing. I remember when the cloud cars came out, there's like the Cirrus and the Stratus. That is the precursor to this by more than one generation, but those were kind of interesting when they came out.
Kind of cute and little, you know, offbeat, I guess.
I think they had a lot of interior room. That was one of their greatest assets. But now it's just like, I mean, when's the last time you saw one of those? And then they improved it. And it just, I don't know. I mean, Chrysler's been through a lot. You know, you have the Germans involved and the Italians involved. And I don't even know what, now let's just call it the globalists are involved.
Well, the French.
yeah, but I think they're actually based in Belgium these days. I mean, it's like Stellantis is not a French company. They're actually, I think it's like the Delaware of Europe, where they're incorporated in a place.
Yeah.
And yeah, they do have French, but they have other brands within. I mean, the Italians. I don't know. It's they've been put through the ringer.
That's their latest, I guess, controlling group or interest is, yeah. It's a hodgepodge.
And in the end, it's like, you know, you can whine all you want about globalism and all that, but this has been happening for quite a long time. I mean, don't forget, the Americans owned a Lamborghini for a little bit. Lamborghini exists because it's been bought out by companies.
Yeah, well, and then you look at just in terms of cost saving. I mean, that's where the industry is heading more and more. It's just, you know, partnerships or different ownership to just spread costs, because it costs a fortune to make a new vehicle.
That's why we have an Audi R8, for example.
Yeah, the German cousin of the Huracan.
Mm-hmm. So here is my other meme. So I have a Buick GSX on the top, king of torque, and then on the bottom, till Cadillac came to town. So on social media, it seems Buick people are one-trick ponies. All they could talk about is how much torque a 1970 455 puts out, which is 510 pound-feet, or feet-pounds, depending on what way the wind blows. For all the other muscle cars out there, only Oldsmobile had 510. The Pontiac had 500. The Chevy 454 had 500. So Buick guys like to brag about it, but it's like, so what? What matters is who's at the end of the drag strip. In this case, you get a Cadillac 500 that had a lot more torque than 510.
Do you know the figure or ballpark figure?
Let's say I should have looked it up before this podcast and forgot, but it's probably 550.
Dang, yeah, that's healthy.
So this is just kind of poking fun of Buick guys, because they don't talk about anything else.
I'm sure this will get a lovely reception online.
Oh yeah.
Who cares? That's my attitude. If you're not having fun, to hell with you.
Well, especially this kind of stuff. I mean, it's cars, so let's just enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't care about your Ford or Mustang versus Camaro rivalry. It really doesn't make sense to me. I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to keep on seeing it online. It's all dumb, and they all have apostrophes in the wrong place. So it's time for our Auto Hunter spotlights. Each of us have chosen a car on Auto Hunter that you can buy right now. And the first one, I think, is Luke's.
Yes, this is a 1966 Buick Riviera. And I really like the way this thing looks. I just love this body style. It's got the 425 cubic inch V8 in there. 95,000 original miles. We have BF Goodrich wheels, 15-inch steel wheels, 145 mile per hour speedometer, and this thing is just really nice. Now, there are some parts that are non-operational, but they're just minimal things. Overall, in very good condition, and the auction ends April 2nd, so if you're interested, go ahead and go over there and check that out.
I got a question for
What's
you.
Up?
Are you aware that this car has hidden headlights?
Hidden headlights?
Yes.
No.
Okay, yeah. Actually, this car has the headlights down. Normally, they would be resting up underneath the hood. Most cars with hidden headlights usually have
a
lid.
So they fold up and down on this vehicle?
They kind of go like this. So if you open the hood, they're actually facing the sky. Right here.
Whoa.
If they were at rest, if they were is retracted the right word, or is that the backwards?
Retracted.
Okay. So I didn't know if you knew that. Because
no, fun. That's a fun fact.
Because in this auction, they don't have any pictures of it retracted.
Mm.
So, and I see it's got the 340 horsepower, 4.25.
Yep.
And did you see what the air cleaner says on it?
No, I didn't get a good close.
It says
look.
Wildcat 465. Now, where does a 465 come from? It's not the cubic inches. It's not the horsepower. So maybe it's the drumroll.
Torque?
No, not at all. No, just kidding. Yeah, torque.
So the Buick engines had torque ratings on their on the air cleaner. So very cool car. I really like 66 Rivieras. Next, we have this 1977 Pontiac Trans Am. Derek, this is your choice.
Yeah, I felt a little self-conscious about this because I know, you know, you're a Pontiac expert. You like Pontiacs. You own a vintage Pontiac. And I was like, maybe I shouldn't pick this. Diego might want to choose it.
You should pick what you want before I choose. That's kind of my policy.
Yeah, so it didn't stop me enough to prevent me from picking this. There have been a lot of cars that we've had on Auto Hunter where I'm like, man, you know, if I had the fun money for this would be great. But this, oh my gosh, like this really has just been staying with me. I mean, yeah, so great condition. It's the cameo white over Firethorn, so red interior. And then you got the,
formula wheel.
Yeah, formula wheel. And then you got that metallic dash trim. Great condition. And then this has got so much that comes with it. So you get the PHS Automotive Services documentation. You get the build sheet, the window sticker, of course, an owner's manual. And another standout feature about this is it's 50,000 miles. I mean, it's just well documented, well cared for. Under the hood, inside the hood, you got the shaker hood scoop, and then you've got the L78 4-barrel 400, and that's connected to a turbo hydromatic, the 3-speed auto, AC, power steering, power front disc brakes. It's just a great package in every way.
That is a beautiful vehicle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if it's beautiful to you out there, just know that you have until Tuesday, April 2nd to place your winning bid on this.
Thank you, Derek. And my choice for my Auto Hunter pick is this 1971 GMC Sprint. Now, the GMC Sprint was just an El Camino in another name. I guess an El Camino in drag would be a nice way to put it. They also had a super sport version called the SP. Now, what did SP stand for? Sprint Performance? I really have no idea. I don't think it's officially been articulated what it was. So this one doesn't have any indications in SP, but it still has a 402, which is a big block. It had 300 horsepower in 1971.
That is beautiful. I love the green.
Yeah, I've always liked this green. I know a lot of people that don't, but I do. I also like the green interior. It's a little bit different than the other greens. Like a lot of cars from this era are dark green interiors, mm-hmm. and this one kind of has like this mossy look
with the wood colored steering wheel too.
Yeah, which is not stock, but yeah, these are kind of interesting, and they're with a 402 would be rare. It has a column shifted automatic. The auction ends on the 2nd of April, which is a Tuesday. So bid, what, this is going to appear tomorrow, which would be the 28th. So you have a few days to bid on this. There's the engine. Not the stock air cleaner, but not a big deal. But a real big black car. And that is the end of our Auto Hunter podcast. I'd like to thank Derek and Luke and Nick, otherwise known as.
Thank you.
For joining us. Of course, folks, for you watching on YouTube, press that subscribe button so that you can not miss any of these
I'm going to start calling you John then.
Subsequent. Yeah, exactly. Or Porky, for that matter.
That's all, folks.
Yeah. I know a stutterer. He doesn't like Porky Pig, by the way, for understandably. But press subscribe so you can catch all subsequent podcasts. And you can also catch past podcasts on YouTube. Anything else, gentlemen?
Nothing from me but the outro. So, Derek, any last words?
Yes, Baba Booey.
Baba Booey. All right, guys. That's
finally
going to be it for the podcast. Thank you guys for having me on again.
Of course.
Now, I, of course, have to plug AutoHunter.com, which is our 7-day online auction with new cars listed every single day. So if you enjoy the thrill of bidding or, you know, buying from an auction website, head on over there, not only to find the car that's right for you, but at the right price. And also, guys, be sure to check out ClassicCars.com, which is our online marketplace with over 30,000 listings live on the site. And with that being said, let's end it.
Thank you.
Thanks, y'all.
Thank you.
You don't have to thank us for having you. Our boss asked us to.